The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your Holtz. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day here in Sonoma County. First of all, my heart goes out to all those families and friends who lost homes. I know people are returning to their home, and it just must be devastating. In fact, Ken and I, on the way to the studio, were talking about the horrific lessons that we had to learn with this fire. I mean, it felt like we were all in a war zone. I mean, I just, when I think back on it, I should just shiver. And I'm glad we all survived, and I'm so sad for the families who lost loved ones. I mean, just amazing. And one of the things I noticed is that many of the people who made their transition, that's how I like to see it, were elderly, you know, so there must have been something, maybe taking sleeping pills or people didn't hear when they were trying to wake them up. So my heartfelt condolences to all those families. And, you know, just hang in there. I like the idea what Pat Harrigan came up with on KSRO, Sonoma Strong. And we are a strong county, and we will come together. We will rebuild. But in the meantime, grieving is very important. Loss, to acknowledge your loss, to acknowledge how painful it is, and to talk about it. Don't hold it in. Talk about it. Let your friends know. Let your family know. Let folks know how you are feeling. Well, I have several guests with me this morning. Joining me in the studio is Samantha Kadar, a native Sonoma County. She's a retired professor of geography from California State University, Northridge, and we'll be talking about the North Bay Science Discovery Day, which is happening this Saturday, October 28, 2017, at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds at 1350 Bennett Valley Road, Santa Rosa, from 10 to 4. And hey, free admission, free parking. And, you know, I hate to date myself, but, you know, when I was growing up, they never had science fairs where they would encourage women to come. So I'm very happy to have Samantha here in the studio with me. And this is our second interview. I interviewed the folks last year, and I heard they had a really wonderful turnout, and I hope they have a wonderful turnout this year. Also, joining me on the phone will be Robin McKenzie, the Senior Vice President for Marketing and Communication from Redwood Credit Union. And she'll be giving us an overview of what's happening not only with her employees, but the fact that that the credit union has been doing a fundraiser. And I understand what a generous community we have. $10 million has already been donated. Thank you so much, Redwood Credit Union, for stepping up to the plate and doing this. And I'm looking forward to talking to her. It was so interesting. As folks know, I'm president of the National Organization for Women here, the Sonoma County branch, and we're going to do an event on the October the 18th. We were going to start the planning for 2020, and Molly Murphy McGregor, the founder of the North, the National Women's History Project, was going to give us our history is our strength, and talk about how we end up having a whole month for International Women's Day. I mean, it's amazing. And when I called up to see if we could still have the room because of the fire, I found out no, we couldn't have it because they were using that room for childcare for their employees. So, you know, so many people are affected. Not only they're affected with their homes, they're affected with their jobs. There's just all kinds of stuff happening in our community. But what is so amazing to me and so heartfelt is how many organizations have stepped up to the plate. Another guest I'm going to have on the phone with me is Misty Harris from the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office. She's the community engagement liaison. And she's going to give us an overview of what's happening, people going to their homes, what are some of the issues that are happening around the county. So it should be a very interesting interview. I really want to thank the Sheriff's Office for being so open to coming in and to talking to our audience. On Sunday, It was the fourth anniversary of the killing of young Andy Lopez, and we had a small celebration at Andy's Unity Park. It was very emotional for me. You know, they had a display of pictures of his life, you know, and he was such a young boy, only 13 years old. And so I had no idea he had such beautiful, beautiful, haunting eyes. And when I was watching that, the slideshow, and I was thinking to myself, what a sad day that that young boy was killed on October 22nd, 4 years ago. But it's kind of a bittersweet experience for me, because as I'm looking at the slideshow, I'm also looking at a park that's being built in his name. You know, I'm also thinking of the task force that we formed around as a result of his shooting, and some of the really positive things that happened in the community. I'm not saying that it's 100%, but it's still bittersweet when you look and you see all that's been accomplished in his name over the past 4 years. And at the same time, you know, a mother's heart, once it's broken, it's very hard to pull it together. So a shout out for everybody that came out and celebrated with us. And see, that's what I mean. It's kind of bittersweet. You're saying I'm celebrating. No, we're not celebrating. We're acknowledging the event that happened, because I don't think it should be forgotten. Because once you forget things, then change doesn't happen. We have to keep it alive. We have to keep changing. We have to keep moving forward. Well, you know, on Saturday night, I got to tell you something. KPBF had their Trunk or Treat event, and I have to do a shout out for our board of directors and all the volunteers who pulled that wonderful, wonderful program together. It was just, I can't even describe it. I did not know there were so many low riders here in our community. We must have had at least 60 cars out there. Fascinating cars, what people do. I mean, just amazing. So a special thank you to all the car clubs that came out, all the people that came out, all the kids. They were just having such a good time. It felt so alive and so vibrant that we had it. It was a big decision. KBBF made a big decision to go ahead and have this event in light of what was happening with the fire. But we needed something to celebrate. We needed something to bring the community together. And I got to tell you, folks, this was it. And I don't know who the folks were who made the tamales, but for $2, I ate the best tamale in Sonoma County, as far as I'm concerned. So a special thank you to everybody for showing up, for donating, for buying food, and for just being there. You know, it's really important that we acknowledge the fact that we are a community radio here at KBBF. Now, I'm looking for some notes here. I wanted to go over, we had a fundraiser, if you remember. We had a fundraiser last week, and I feel a little guilty because I only had one day of the fundraiser, so I thought I would just go through it real quickly with folks. You know, first of all, one of the things that I learned during this fire, more than anything else, is how important radio is, how important community radio is. We are your community bilingual radio station here in Sonoma County, and we need to be supported. We also hit 18 counties in Northern California, so all you folks listening out there, we need your support. You know, and it's real simple. We've done something I think is very clever. We have two levels of participation. One level is $4.99 a month. Another level is $9.99 a month. So it's real simple. You go on our website at kbbf.org. Once you're there, you go to the right hand, you'll see a little thing that says donate. Real simple. Donate. Hit that button. Wait a minute. Plus one time donations. Oh, it's a one time donation. You know, can't. Plus, it's a one-time donation. Pardon?
Three. One, $4.99, and the other one.
Oh, $1.99. Okay. I'm sorry. I got a little confused by this note. Anyway, but it is a one-time donation, because you only have to put the information in the computer one time, and you can choose either $4.99 or $9.99 $9.99 a month, and you become what is known as a sustainer. You're sustaining. You're giving a small amount every month. And you just, it just keeps going. I do that with two. I have one spiritual program that I give $10 a month. They just take $10 every month out of my credit card, and I don't even have to think about it anymore. So go to kbbf.org, hit the donation bar at the far right. The form will pop up. Choose $4.99 or $9.99. Fill out your name, etc. Pardon?
Or single donation.
Oh, I see. That's what she's saying. Ken's pointing it out that we can also make a single donation. You don't have to be a sustainer. But we're really trying to encourage sustainers to give either $4.99 a month or $9.99. Go ahead and give your credit card information and hit submit. And there you are. You're a sustainer for either $4.99 or $9.99 a month. We need our local station here. We do not have a television station here anymore. And I want you to know, I know there are folks that are donating to lots of stations outside of the area, but guess what? I did not hear them covering very much about our fire. So it's very, very important. Very important. Well, lot to think about, lots to chew on, and I hope, you know, that you folks will go to the kbbf.org and do that donation. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And if I sound a little bit up here or down here or a little bit not as clear sometimes as I usually am, I'm still recovering from this fire. I mean, we were almost 2 weeks where we were isolated. We were in an evacuation zone, but they let us stay in our house. And it's still weighing on my mind. I actually felt like I was in a war zone. So it was really, quite an interesting experience. Well, when we're going to take a musical break, the song I'm going to be playing is a Michael Jackson song. I'm a real Michael Jackson fan. I mean, I never knew that he had written so many fabulous songs, and this is a great one called Heal the World. But of course, because it's Women's Spaces, we have women singers, so it's going to be sung by a woman by the name of Connie Tablet. When I return, I will be talking with Robin McKenzie, Senior Vice President for Marketing and Communication from Redwood Credit Union. And after Robin, we're going to be talking to Misty Harris from the Sonoma County Sheriff's Office, the Community Engagement Liaison. So let's go here, Heal the World by Connie Talbot.
We can heal the world and make it a better place. There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love, and this place could be much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you'll feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, get a better place. Strong, it only cares for joy, forgiving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. Fear or dread, we stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough for us growing. make a better world. It's plain to see this world is heavenly. Be God's glow.
Yes, Sonoma's strong, and we are going to make it a better place. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest on the phone. With me is Robin McKenzie. Good morning, Robin. How are you?
Good morning, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
I'm just so honored to have you on. You know, we've just gone through a horrendous event here in Sonoma County, and I know that Redwood Empire has been really, really active. But I thought what we would do is, before we get into the fundraiser that you folks are doing, I thought we would talk a bit about yourself and your experience, how you're doing, and how your staff is doing.
Well, thanks for asking. I think we've all been impacted by this, whether, many have lost their homes, unfortunately, their lives, which is tragic, and many of us were displaced through continual evacuations, and then some that were not evacuated but very much feel the sadness for our community. And I really don't think anybody here in the North Bay, or frankly, at this point, it seems the state and the country or the world are not thinking, at least, about the North Bay and all that has happened here due to these devastating fires. So no one really has been left untouched.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. When I called you up and we had to cancel the event that we were having for the National Organization for Women, and you told me that the room that we were going to be in was being used for childcare for your employees, all of a sudden I realized, my God, the challenges that people must have in being able to go to work, you know, if you've lost your home or some of the issues that have happened. So how are you handling it down there at Redwood Credit Union with your employees? Can you give a little bit of, like, a little story or just a little information about that?
Of course. Like many businesses and individuals here, we were right in the middle of where the fires actually occurred. Our headquarters and our branch here on Cleveland Avenue was right in the center of, unfortunately, when the fire came down through the Fountain Grove area and jumped the freeway, and there were several businesses, as you know, lost on Cleveland Avenue, just a few doors down from us. So we were focused on making sure that our employees were safe and well. So we have a very strong disaster relief program that, you know, each of us as senior leaders reach out to our managers, and our managers reach out to every single employee until we locate them and verify their safety. So we were all doing that on Monday, very early on, and then very much in contact with each other regarding the safety and security of our employees. And then, as employees came back and communicated with us, we were able to identify that it was almost 30 employees that were impacted directly in the loss of their homes, which is just, you know, so difficult. And so many folks were unable to even have their homes to, for, you know, temporarily to go back to. So We quickly mobilized to see what, you know, to figure out what we could do for those employees. And one of the solutions was to provide childcare. As you know, many of the schools are still not back as of today, and it's been 2 weeks as of today. Some won't be back until next week and in the coming weeks. So we were able to provide daycare. We have that. We have that on site as of last week and even the week before, and then we're continuing that since the school, many schools are still closed. Additionally, we provided lunch and food for our employees. We're providing some support, financial support, certainly emotional support. We have a strong employee assistance program, which provides counseling service to our employees. We had on-site counselors here to assist with this this tragedy, and are doing everything that we can to support each other during this very difficult time, as well as the nearly 300,000 members that we have that are our customers here at the credit union that we call members since we're a not-for-profit. And then, of course, our community. That's also part of our mission. And we're doing our best in these difficult, challenging times to support all three of those groups.
Well, you know, Robin, I have to say this. I mean, it's so inspiring what you've done. I mean, the idea of community coming together and that we're a local community. I mean, you're a local organization, and it's just stunning what you've done. Well, I know you folks also, in the midst of everything, which is amazing to me, you set up a fundraiser. Talk a little bit about that. How did that come about, and why do you think that was important, particularly that Redwood Credit Union was the one that was kind of spearheading that?
Well, we have been involved as a community credit union. We serve anyone who lives or works in the seven North Bay counties as well as San Francisco. So we serve individuals and businesses with their banking needs throughout the North Bay. And so we're a community-focused organization. We're a not-for-profit. That's not a non-profit, but a not-for-profit. And that's, you know, a difference that credit unions have. And so as such, we're able to really focus on serving the needs of our members and our communities. And when the Lake County fires happened in 2015 and then unfortunately again in 2016, there was a great need with so many of our community members affected that we were able to partner with Senator Mike McGuire, who's area and jurisdiction is up there in the Lake County as well as Sonoma County and Mendocino counties.
Well, he's really had, I mean, you have to do a shout out for Mike McGuire. I mean, I can't believe his energy and his, every time he came on the radio, I mean, I felt safe.
Yeah, he's a real community leader and one we're proud to partner with. He is very much connected with the Office of Emergency Services and CAL FIRES and they all the different resources in the community, and is able to mobilize those various resources and come together and help us all come together to help each other during such tough times. And then we partnered with the Press Democrat as well. The three of us came together in 2015 to open up our fund, which is through our Redwood Credit Union's Community Fund, which is a 501c3 nonprofit fund. So that allows us to take in donations and make all of those donations from generous folks tax deductible. And so we opened that up in 2015, and we're able to support the victims of the fires in 2015 and then in 2016, as well as we supported the Sonoma County floods that happened last year as well. And then, of course, no one could have imagined that the worst fire in the history of California would have occurred right here in our own communities.
I know, you know, it was so amazing to me when it started happening. I write for the Sonoma County Gazette. I write the column called Santa Rosa Snippets. And as I decided I would write about the fire. And you know, all these things have been going on with the shooting in Las Vegas and all the hurricanes. And I mean, it's just been one thing after another. And I was sitting in front of listening to the radio, and I said, you know, in the past I was a voyeur. But now this is real. I mean, this is really happening. I was only 2.5 miles away from Coffee Park, you know, and so we were on pins and needles, you know, so it's amazing. Well, it's a great thing that you have going. And can you tell our listeners, I mean, how many donations you've had and how they can participate and
donate? Absolutely. So we have opened it up. They can either go online to our website, which is www.redwoodcu.org, And they can go online, and you can see in the lower right-hand corner a whole variety of information, but there's links to our donation portal. So if they want to donate via their credit card, that's the easiest and simplest way to make a donation. We have also opened all 17 branch locations that we have across the North Bay and San Francisco. So if someone wants to stop in at our branch and write a check to us, we'll be happy to put that donation towards the fund. And then we are receiving all kinds of different checks via mail, and our information is on our website about how to do that and where you make the check out to. And then thanks to the generosity of so many, we're just hearing hourly about all kinds of fundraisers that are occurring where they have decided to direct their funds to the donations towards our fund. So there's been over 17,000 donors. We've raised almost $11 million so far in just about a week and a half.
Oh, my goodness, $11 million in a week and a half.
What? Yes. It just tells you how much these are donations not only locally, but throughout the state, throughout the country, and even worldwide. We've received donations from Switzerland. And so really what I think the message for victims who might be listening right now is that your community cares about you, and we are here for you. And so the focus has been to collect these funds, and that has been quite a significant effort to be able to put this in place and to be able to respond to all the contacts and donations and such. But in the meantime, we're also anxious to get those funds distributed to the victims. So we have your listeners might be interested in how we're doing that. So far, $7.2 million has already been allocated to the fire victims, and that's in the form of we immediately worked with the folks at Redwood Empire Food Bank, who distributes emergency food to the Mendocino Lake and in Sonoma County, and then also with the Community Action Napa Valley. And they're two food-oriented organizations that were able to help victims who needed food right away. We also partnered with the Petaluma People's Service Center for immediate housing needs. And all of that information is on our website. If any of your listeners are victims themselves, they should visit our website, and all of that information is available to them if they need food or housing.
Robin, we're coming to the end of the segment here, so why don't you give the website and a phone number how they can get a hold of people?
It's www.redwoodcu.org. And that's the best place to visit. And then also we encourage your anybody who's a victim to visit their local assistance center. Each county is county's local assistance center, where FEMA and all the other resources are available in each county. And we've listed that on our website, too.
Well, Robin McKenzie and all the folks at Redwood Credit Union, I want to thank you for being on Women's Spaces, and thank you so much for all that you're doing. And before we say goodbye, let's give that website one more time.
It's www.redwoodcu.org.
And we will have that also listed. We also have that listed on Women's Spaces. We have all the information how they can get a hold of you besides your website. If they didn't get all the information, just go to Women's Spaces, and it's on there. Thank you so much for being on, and thank you so much for all that you're doing.
You bet. We wish wellness to our community, and I know it's a long road out, but we're in this together.
Well, thank you so much, Robin McKenzie.
Thank you. Take care.
Wow. Well, we're going to be getting Mitzi Harris on the phone now from the Sonoma County Sheriff, and we'll have a little quick overview before we take another musical break, and then have our special guest, Samantha Kadar, who also was very impacted by the fires. We've been talking at our break. And you know what's so beautiful about Redwood Credit Union is we're local. We know who they are. You know, it's like you're giving your money. You don't know where it goes. You don't know what it does. We can call Robin and say, hey, Robin, what's going on? You know, that's why it's so important that we support all of our local people. You know, it's really, really amazing. Well, we have Missy on the phone.
So we're up for that.
Okay, well, we've got Mitzi on the phone now. You want to connect her, Ken? Is she connected? Is Mitzi on the phone?
Yes.
Mitzi, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, my favorite person in the sheriff's department. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, great. We just had Robin McKenzie on from Redwood Credit Union talking about, you know, that they've raised already $11 million?
Wow. Last I had heard it was 10 million, and even that was impressive.
Yeah. That's when I printed it out this morning, I saw, and she says they're coming. They've actually had donations to Sonoma County from Switzerland. Can you believe that? I mean, that the world cares about us. And that's a good omen when we start thinking about it for you folks out there, maybe feeling depressed, feeling you're alone. You're not alone. You know, we are a community. We have a great community going. Well, Mitzi, welcome. Tell the folks a little bit about you before I ask you a few questions about what's going on with give an overview of what has been happening around the fire and people going back in their homes. Talk a little bit about what you've been doing and what's it been like at the sheriff's office. I got to give our sheriff, Rob Garadano, a big pat on the back. I mean, he has just done a marvelous, marvelous job.
Thank you, Elaine. I agree. He has really stepped up and been a leader and a source of compassion and comfort for everybody during, you know, during this unprecedented time that we're facing. You know, here in the sheriff's office, my role was really the public outreach side of it, as far as getting information out in English and in Spanish on Facebook and through Nixle, and helping coordinate with the press conferences, getting all the relevant information out to our community members. I was part of that team so that people could be really well informed every step of the way. It was, as you know, it happened very quickly. It changed very quickly. And so we were constantly putting out information and doing interviews to make sure our people knew what was going on.
Have many people in the sheriff's department, have some lost their homes also?
Yes, 29 of our sheriff's office members have lost their homes.
You're kidding.
No.
29?
29.
Wow.
And I know there are a lot more throughout the county family who have lost homes as well. So we, as we're going through this as a community, we at the sheriff's office are going through it truly with everybody. Our staff members that lost their homes, were still working and still serving the community during this time. So
it was interesting. I heard Susan Gorin on the air because she unfortunately lost her home also. And one of the things she said, which was so true, we're in this together. You know, it's like when it happens to you, I noticed for myself, my compassion level has probably risen at least 40%. I mean, I've never felt these deep feelings that I've been feeling since this has happened.
Yeah.
Well, talk a little bit about what is going on now. What should the community know? Is there anything important? I know people are going back to their homes. How are you handling that?
So people are going back into their homes or their properties in some cases if their home didn't make it. So we are putting out Nixle alerts every time an area is opened and big roads are opened, and making sure that we have police or our sheriff's deputies or National Guard at checkpoints to make sure that only the residents are getting back in at first, to make sure that they can see if there's anything remaining, that there's a very difficult time right now for everybody who lost their homes. And so if, you know, it causes a lot of traffic in the general area, but it's also very emotional for the people who are coming back to their properties. So we're trying to make sure that people know when the areas are open and that they also have their checkpoint and that they're going into their neighborhoods and not just kind of public at large at this point.
How are they, you know, I'm sure if the sheriff's there at the checkpoints and people are getting in, how are they handling the trauma with people? How is their therapist out? I mean, what is the process there?
Yeah, so the county actually has mental health professionals out in the evacuation areas as they're being reopened to support the public as they go back in. And I would say the role of the sheriff's deputies is that they, you know, they're used to, they help people through trauma all the time. It's unfortunately, you know, this is not new for them. This level of trauma and pain is sort of unprecedented for everybody. But they're very good at being there for people. It's part of what they do.
Well, you know what came to mind to me during this whole process? You know, there's so many people out there that they go, oh, government is this and government is that, you know. And when you see something like a disaster like this happening, and you see your government in action in the way that I saw our county in action, you have to say to yourself, you know, we need to start rethinking what we think about government and how government really plays a part in a community. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's not... It's not always the smoothest functioning machine, and we know that. You know, there are certainly frustrations, but
well, none of us are perfect. I mean, if you know anybody that's perfect, send them over.
I will, and I'll ask them what their secret is. But you're right. I think it really showed in this disaster where we had local and state and federal government all jumped in and all worked really well together and continue to work well together to get people the resources that they need. And it's, we really, all of us really rely on that to make sure that we have this recovery effort happening and continuing for our community's success.
Well, and also the compassion that was shown was just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, listen, anything special you'd like to tell the folks that are listening? Anything that you think that they should know? Anything new? Any websites that you can recommend?
Yeah, I have some websites and resources that are good for the people who are going through this right now. The first thing that I wanted to mention is the Local Assistance Center. That's at 427 Mendocino Avenue, and that's for people who have experienced damage or loss of their homes, and that's where all of your resources are in one place. So that's my best recommendation, is to go down there and get the help that is available to you. The Sonoma County webpage, sonomacounty.ca.gov, has all of the resources in one spot electronically, so you can sort of there's health information, mental health information, cleanup information. It's one spot where you can find all of that electronically. And if you have children, the Sonoma County Office of Education website has a lot of helpful information on there as far as school reopenings and resources for kids. And then just in general, I want the community to know that the Sheriff's Office has been here for you, and we will continue to be here for you. We're not going anywhere. We're part of this community. We're part of the recovery effort. We're not going away.
Well, your folks lost homes. I mean, you're dealing. I mean, if I know when I was in the world of work, your work is like your family. You know, it's
it
like
is.
You come together. Well, Robin, Mitzi, can you do me a favor? Can
yes.
you email me all that information that you just vocalized? Because I'll be happy to put that also on our website of Women's Spaces.
Yes, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, if you could
do that.
Well, listen, we're about to come to the end of our segment. Any final words? And I want you to know how much I appreciate you coming on. And again, tell our sheriff he did a stellar job. I mean, and for me, the stellar job was the fact that not only did he give information, but he showed himself to have compassion and to have feeling for everything that was happening with the folks.
Yeah, I guess I agree. And my final word is really, we're one community. We're all in this together, and it'll take everybody's love and support to get through it together. And I have absolute faith that we will as a county.
Well, I've said it once, and I'll say it again. You are definitely a great, great resource for the Sheriff's Department. Thank you so much, Missy Harris, Sonoma County Sheriff's Office Community Engagement Liaison, for being on Women's Spaces and for sharing that information, and to let the folks know that we will have all that information on the website. Thank you so much again, Mitzi.
You're welcome, Elaine. Have a good day.
And tell everybody that our heart's condolences go out to them, and that, you know, this too will pass. We're, like they said, like I like what Pat Harrington said, Sonoma's strong, and we will. Yes. We'll come back, and it'll even be better. So thank you. Thank you once again.
You're welcome.
Well, we're going home. Missy Harris, thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. I just enjoy her so much. I don't know what it is. I think she just adds a spark to our law enforcement that I think we've needed for a long, long time. We're going to take a musical break, and the song I'll be playing is called What a Beautiful World. And it's by Leanne Rimes. And I'm telling you, I'm discovering her. She is just fabulous. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Samantha Kadar, who is a retired professor of geography from California State University Northridge, and we'll be talking about the North Bay Science Discovery Day, which is happening this Saturday, October 28th, at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds at 1350 Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa. We will be back talking about that, so here we go with What a Beautiful World by Leanne Rimes. Okay,
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom a day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, also on the faces of people going by, I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. What a wonderful world. Ooh, yeah, yeah. And I think to myself, what a wonderful
you know, after it's all said and done, it is a beautiful world. We have little bumps here and there. Some bumps are big, some are small, but they're there. They're not going to go away. The most important thing is to believe that things will work out, things pass. We're being challenged right now. But still, you can still look at the beautiful sky. You can still look at a beautiful flower. You know, find things that help you remember how beautiful it is, especially when you go through losses. I mean, it's very, very important. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Samantha Kardar. Welcome, Samantha. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm really excited about this. This is the second year that we've done an interview here at KBBF on the Science Fair. It's really exciting. I'm just excited that it exists, to be honest with you. So let me tell the folks just a little bit about you before we start the interview. Is that okay?
Certainly.
Samantha Kardar is a native of Sonoma County. She's a retired professor of geography from California State University, Northridge. She holds an associate in science degree in earth science from Santa Rosa Journey College, a bachelor of arts degree from Sonoma State University, and an MA from my alma mater, San Francisco State University. She focused her teaching on core classes of geography that embraces the physical process of the planet, the people who inhabit the planet, and how regional areas developed on the planet. You know, when I keep saying the word planet, it really helps remind me that we live on a planet, folks. Environmental issues often took center stage in her courses that she taught over a 20-year span, as well as encouraging students to embrace a diverse area of subjects with geography and other academic departments so that they would come well informed. She's also a facilitator, I guess, of the up-and-coming science fair that's happening.
Well, associated with one of them. And that he asked me if I would come in and answer some questions for you.
Well, first of all, you know, what's so interesting, are we changing the mic here?
Yeah, we're
going to change the mic here.
Doesn't like that mic.
Here we go. We're just taking a little pause. You know, this is, you know, you're listening to community radio, kbbf.org. If you want to go and become a sustainer or any of you support the station, please feel free to do so. Okay, are we set, Ken? Okay, we're set with the mic. Go ahead, Samantha. You were saying, my friend.
I'm married to one of the facilitators of the North Bay Science Discovery Day that will be happening this Saturday. And he said, would you be willing to be interviewed for, you know, Women in Science? And I said, most assuredly, because if there's anything I'd like to see is more women get involved in science.
Well, why don't you talk? You know, you've been around a while,
yes.
Samantha. So tell us a little bit about what it was like for you. I mean, geography was not something at one time that women got into. So talk about your experience. How did you choose it? What was your inspiration? Who inspired you? And what were some of your challenges going back to school the time you did?
Well, I went back as a returning adult. I had been in college and got kind of discouraged with it, and then I ended up in radio and TV for a while and then was raising my children. And I was looking at some of the opportunities that women were facing, and I said, why should it be such a struggle if a woman wants to go be a plumber, if she wants to be an electrician, if she wants to be a scientist, why should things be in the way? Because I was raised by a surveyor. In fact, he was Santa Rosa City surveyor for over 20 years. And as a little kid, he would show me the night sky. And back in the day, when I was little, you could actually see the Milky Way in Sonoma County without any problem. And I started asking him questions about it, and he would answer them at a level that was commensurate to a 9 or 10-year-old, which this North Bay Science Discovery Day is really, you know, trying to get these youngsters to don't be afraid of science. Well, my mother was a person that was involved in travel and tourism, so I learned how to read maps at a very young age. I could read a map upside down by the time I was 10. Between those two things, we used to laugh. They said, well, Mom, Dad, I guess you bred geographers. That's what everyone used to laugh about in the department, because my main interest when I got started was, here's the weather, here's the topography, what's going on? So I took a class at the junior college in meteorology. I said, I want to know what makes all this happen. When I walked into the classroom, there was maybe only about a third of it were women in there, and the rest of them, you know, were males. Well, as I continued my education as an adult, I noticed there was more and more women were starting to appear in the science classes, and I'll never forget Jerry Waxman, former astronomer at the Santa Rosa Junior College. He said, we're seeing more women get into astronomy than ever before. And he was trying to figure out why, and I said, well, maybe it just was about time. You know,
that's a good answer. It's about time, yes.
You know, and by the time I finished my degree at San Francisco State, I would say at least half of us in the graduate program were women. And it wasn't really an issue of how many women, how many men do we have here, is that we were all people that were interested in the planet.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If I had my life to live over again, I would actually go for anthropology. Because I have that curiosity of who was the first woman? Who was the first mother? You know, I want to find out.
Well, remember, the first farmers were women.
Exactly.
We were the ones that stayed around the campsite because we had to take care of the babies that we were having, taking care of the sick and the elderly. So we caught on really quick that little seedling over there, it grew again. Wonder if I can make more of them happen.
Well, you know, that brings me to another thing that you, I just to let my listeners know, I have my guests send me 5 questions, you know, what they think is important. And one of your things was, what do you think is cool about geography? So tell us what's cool about geography, but also let's segue into what's cool about this science fair.
Well, a lot of people, when they find out that I'm a geography professor, for some reason they think, oh, gee, I know geography. I know all the place, you know, all the city names, the capitals, and where they are. And I'll look at them and I usually say, well, do you know why they're there? What made people want to be there? So geography gives you the answers why those things happen. Why is Des Moines, Iowa, where it is? Why is Watson, Hungary, where it is? And that, to me, to understand why things developed is just as important as that the fact that they did develop, because it tells you something about the development of human culture, of why did they want that there.
So that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. Like, here we are, Sonoma County. Why all of a sudden did it start building up? What were some of the motivations? What were attracting people?
Well, for my family, for instance, they came here in Sonoma County right after the Civil War. They arrived here, and some of them decided to stay down near the Fresno area. But for some reason, my ancestor decided to go up to the Dry Creek Valley. There was just something about, he heard about the Healdsburg area and went up there, started a small ranch. His youngest daughter, who was my great-grandmother, she married Santa Rosa's first butcher, and he opened up his shop right here on 4th Street.
How far does your family go back?
Since 1869, my family's
really?
Been here.
Oh, so you're a real... Because I was at Sonoma State one day, and I was in the class, and I was a guest speaker, so I had already been here about 35 years. And they asked some question, how many natives of Sonoma County? And I raised my hand because I thought 35 years. And this one person popped up and says, hey, wait a minute, you're not a native. I'm a native. And she told me she went back to the 1800s. So go ahead, continue your lineage.
So all of my family found this a very convenient area, and that because San Francisco, was a couple days buggy ride
So they were part of in the earthquake.
Yes, my family survived the 1906 earthquake, and Max Delicatessen, that used to be my great-grandfather's butcher shop, it had survived, so he was able to continue doing the butchering and that, because he would go out into the outlying areas. He took care of Jack London's butchering and they would travel out there. In fact, my grandmother saw the Wolf House just a week before it burned down. So I do have a lot of history here in this town. The location was great. I mean, my dad, during World War II, when it was starting, he was a student at Santa Rosa High School, and the engineering students were brought out to help get the Santa Rosa Air Center, get that airfield surveyed and that, so they could put it into use.
Wow.
So
amazing.
The community's always been amazing. And in 1964, if any of you were around here and you remember how close that fire got to the community hospital, I have to thank my dad and a survey crew for going out and helping that day. He said, guys, we're not working on Sonoma Avenue one more time here right now. We're going up there and helping to dig the line around it.
That's amazing. Well, talk a little bit. Now we're coming in. I mean, I just think it's amazing that what happens every year with this science fair. Talk a little bit about it. I mean, and how does that relate? How do you integrate it with your family history? You say your husband is part of the team that's putting it on. So how does that relate to Sonoma County and also encouraging young people?
Well, there's the technology that's involved, because Keysight Technologies is one of the people that's involved, in Medtronics and a few other companies. So there's a lot of areas for students' interests, whether it's communications, whether it's computer technology. Apparently, there's a lot of environmental and biological stuff. So it's like the whole world of science is being represented there for these young people to get introduced to it.
How are they introduced?
A lot of hands-on things. My husband has designed this thing so kids can see sound waves, and they can turn all the knobs and see the sound waves as it moves these little pieces of styrofoam through this long tube. And they go, whoa, sound waves happen, but they actually get to see it happen.
Well, I'd like to see it happen, and I'm an adult.
Well, you want to go there and play with it.
Definitely. And what are some other attractions that are going to be there?
I'm not familiar, actually, with all of them. You'd have to ask my husband, who's, much more involved in the actual things that are going on, because he's the advisory committee of the North Bay Science Discovery Day. But I would like to see, that people would come out there, no matter what it is, whether it's, like I said, the computer, communications, whether it's environmental, biology, geography has encompassed it all, because we have everything from GIS, which is geographical information systems, that allowed Cal Fire and the rest of them to show everybody those maps, what was going on, what is where. I mean, they would not have been able to do as good of a job that they have done without geography's role in implementing these geographical information systems. So if you want to be at the forefront of helping the environment to be a better place and to understand what's there, geography's got a career waiting for you.
So, and that's part of the sciences that you're going to be covering, geography, probably anthropology, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it's all covered. History, sociology, you name it, geography addresses it all.
How did this come about? I mean, do you know any little history of how this came to be, this science fair?
The science fair itself, I don't understand the history, all of that. We're just, newly returned to Sonoma County here just a couple of years ago after we both retired. And my husband was the one who came across it and saw what was happening, and he's now involved, some of his retired friends in various fields to participate in it as well.
So it sounds like you have teachers there, you have,
professionals.
You have professionals there, you have a lot of exhibits going on.
Right.
And it's F-R-E-E.
Yes, that's free. I mean, if you need a distraction right now for a few hours, you and your family, what a wonderful place to go do it.
Yeah, well, one of the things I think is so important, you know, people complain, they say, well, the kids who got the cell phones in front of them, you know, they don't talk to anybody. One of the things that I discovered, I remember with my daughter, when I would take her to any kind of fair, science fairs or, you know, activity fairs, it brought us together. There's a certain bonding because you have something to talk to.
Exactly.
And then you can help encourage your children in that moment. You know, especially girls. Wouldn't you agree that girls need a little bit more encouragement than, say, boys? Because it's expected of a boy,
right,
maybe to go into science.
Well, I remember my daughters one time, and I was explaining cloud formations, and I said, if you ever see this type of cloud formation, run for cover. And they're kind of rolling their eyes at me at the time. Well, many years later, as an adult, my oldest daughter was calling me on the phone from Sacramento area, and she says, Mom, I see those clouds you're talking about. And I said, and what are you about to do? And she said, I'm getting off the phone, and I'm heading for cover. Moments later, tornadoes struck.
Goodness. So there's geography.
There's geography.
Well, we're coming to the end of our segment, Samantha, and I really want to let you know how much I appreciate you coming in and how much I appreciate you and your husband and all the folks that are involved in this science fair. So let's give the folks a little bit of information where it's going to be, the whole nine yards.
It'll be held at the fairgrounds, and that, yes, there was some concern, you know, because of people's needs, you know, a place to be during all of the fire. I believe you have the exact street address if anyone needs to know. If you don't know where the fairgrounds is now in Sonoma County,
13,
where have you been?
1350 Bennett Valley Road. And it's happening from
10 to 4. And it's free.
And
free
it's
admission, free parking.
Are you going to be there?
I may not be able to. I've got some issues with my knees that don't allow me to stand up for long periods of time, but I'll be there in spirit.
What is your husband's name?
Steve Kadar.
Steve Kadar. Well, Steve Kadar will be there.
He'll
so
be
folks
there.
Can go up and say, hi, Steve, I heard your wife on the air. Okay, let's just remind our folks, okay, that's happening this Saturday. That's October 28, 2017 at the Sonoma County Fairground, 1350 Bennett Valley Road in Santa Rosa from 10 to 4 p.m. And it's free admission.
Free.
Anyway, thank you so much, Samantha Kadar, for being on. And hey, folks, this has been a great show. I want to remind everybody that Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. tonight. That's Monday evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to it. I want to do a special shout out to Robin McKenzie from the Redwood Credit Union. Thank you so much for all you're doing. To Mitzi Harris from the Sheriff's Department, thank you for all you're doing. And to Samantha Kadar for being such a great guest. And reminding our folks, I want to remind you to attend the North Bay Science Discovery Day. That's this Saturday, October 28th. And you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Remember, the children are our future, and I look forward to being with you the next time.